Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful at your service. And it's always good to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Rich Galen is our guest. He's our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He is a Republican operative or a political operative or a hack, depending on who you talk to. And he is also, as I say, in the interest of full disclosure, of the Republican persuasion. Rich, welcome back and happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, my friend. That's very kind of you.
It's good to have you back. And I know you're all a Twitter about being here, too.
I am a Twitter. Yeah, I always look forward to this.
Okay, Rich, we have to cover the news first. I want to talk about Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota. Correct me if I'm wrong, by my what I know of him, a pretty able legislator.
And decent guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is nothing not to like about Tim Johnson.
Yeah, there's no reason.
He just happens to be a United States Senator, but he could just as easily be the guy running the hardware store downtown.
Right. That's been my impression. I'm glad to know, because you're a lot more in tune with this than I am, and I'm glad to hear you confirm that. How is he today?
You know, I only know what the same. I'm reading the same wire stories you're reading. Nobody knows any more than they really knew last night. As I understand it from the neurologists and the neurosurgeons that I've been watching on the cable news channels, that the first 24 hours after the attack, I mean, not after the surgery, but after the attack, are the most crucial, and he has clearly survived that, so that's good
right.
news.
Did we know what happened to him?
Yeah, and I don't remember the technical name for it, but he has a congenital defect in his brain where the blood vessels, the arteries and the veins, grow large and entangle themselves, and one of them just ruptured, so he had bleeding into his brain. So
just becomes a time bomb, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is very often fatal. I mean, one of the blessings in this thing is that it happened literally. He was on the phone with reporters,
right?
And he began to slur and lose focus, and the staff realized something was wrong in a hurry. There is always an ambulance parked right behind the Capitol on the Capitol Plaza. So they took him to George Washington University Hospital, and they had him in surgery, very quickly. So it's likely that saved his life.
Yeah,
what we don't know, unfortunately, we won't for some time, is if there was any damage to his brain, and if so, how extensive, and if so, how long it will take to rehabilitate.
We pray for him and his return, his well-being. You pointed something out this week in your letter, and I think in today's letter, in your Mullings.com cyber column, that this isn't going to tip any scales.
Mm-hmm. Right. The only way.
God forbid he doesn't come back,
right.
he's not able to resume his duties, which we all pray that he does, regardless of what's going on in the Senate. This is not going to tip any scales.
No, because it's a zero sum game. There are 100 senators. The Democrats have a 51-49 lead.
Counting the independents.
And even if Senator Johnson can't be on the floor on January 4th to vote for a majority leader, that still leaves them at 50-49. And what I wrote in the column, because people called me about this yesterday, is can't the vice president come in and make it 50-50? And happily, I've actually read the Constitution, but I looked at it again just to make sure I had the words right. And the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 3, says the vice president shall be the president of the Senate and shall not vote but to break a tie. So he can vote to break a tie, but he can't vote to create one.
See, this is why we have Rich here, folks. He doesn't have a life, and he can bring us these constitutional things.
I have a life. It's just not a very amusing one.
It's a constitutional kind of life. Exactly. Anyway, that's the news on Senator.
What did you do over your holiday, Mr. Gale? No, I read the Constitution again. I've kind of forgotten about Article 1, Section 3.
And when they asked Rich what his favorite book was, he said, the new unabridged Webster Dictionary. But we hope for his speedy recovery, and that's the report and the analytical news on how the Senate will be arranged. Senator Reid will still be the new
majority
leader of the Senate.
Okay,
let's move over to the United Nations quickly. John Bolton is out; he's resigned, and I can't think of a greater political crime that has happened in my recent memory. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, and it's this one I actually put at the feet of outgoing Majority Leader Bill Frist. I argued with his folks about this for months, and was obviously unsuccessful. That I said that as long as Bill Frist is retiring anyway and leaving as Majority Leader, he ought to put a stake in the ground and say, okay, we're going to have a vote on John Bolton on the floor.
Right.
And if I have to yank it out of the committee myself, I'm going to do that. But we're voting on this guy.
He doesn't have the
here for 2 weeks. We're going to do it.
Frist doesn't have the backbone for that, like too many Republicans these days. Tony Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen, the publisher, the writer, the chief accountant, and the janitor over at Mullings.com, which is a thrice weekly cyber column. And what did you say? You're the charmed quark, Rich, over there?
The charmed quark.
Actually, it's not really quite true now because you have
a partner. Yeah.
You have partners, your son. Yeah.
A partner, yeah. But actually, my partner and I are going to Dallas this morning to go talk to our accountant about how to handle next year.
we call him the Reedster, by the way. Okay, John Bolton, back to the UN real quick. I'm going to say that from an international policy standpoint, from a geopolitical standpoint, from a global security standpoint, John Bolton not being in the UN could put the United States at risk. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think it could put the United States at risk because the deputy chief of mission will vote on, you know, on the U.S.'s the U.S.'s behalf. And actually, the United Nations has a long history of hating the United States and then begging us to come in and do stuff when they can't get it done without us.
And we do.
Absolutely. The classic example is right after Bush was elected, there was a vote for the Human Rights Commission, which has been reorganized since. But at the time, the seat that was designated for the Americas went to, you know, like Mexico or something,
mm-hmm.
and we lost our seat. And there was great glee in the international community about how the United States had, you know, had they been able to jab their finger into the eye of the mighty United States. And we
right.
had to think about it. Well, guess what? A year later, because nothing got done in a whole year without our moral authority, they redid the rules and created an additional seat, and we got it so that we could actually move things ahead. But
yeah.
I mean, that never gets reported.
But we need John. We need a guy like John Bolton in the UN right now, don't we?
You need somebody who can stare him down and say, "Well, you know what? We're not doing that." And by the way, we pay out of every dollar, we pay 20 cents, and the people of the United States want this to happen. Or you and I have talked about this before. I'm not sure that we want the United States out of the UN. I am sure that I want the UN out of the United States.
Yeah,
I mean, rather than leaving it on the east side of New York, they should move it to some place that's needed.
The Hague or something like that.
No, Somalia.
Malta or somewhere, whatever. Yeah, I think they should move it to Haiti. That's where I think it should go.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Move it to Haiti.
If you really want to serve, then you got to go serve.
That's exactly where I'm going to, when I'm president of the world, that's where we're going to move the UN. Kofi Annan sort of stuck his finger in America's eye this weekend when he went to Missouri, didn't he?
Yeah, the only thing I really am sad about when it comes to Kofi Annan is that we can't actually prosecute him and throw him in jail for being the crook that he
which,
really is.
Which he is an unindicted co-conspirator.
Without
we know that
question.
For a fact.
I mean, the oil for... As you and I have talked about on many levels, the oil for food program, which I always called the oil for palaces program,
right?
Because I visited most of the palaces that the oil money paid for. that his son, Kofi Annan's son, was complicit in the kickbacks, and it was, I mean, and he knew about it. He even got him a job.
His chief of staff got $180,000 in kickbacks.
Yeah.
He's now in exile. He's now in exile.
Not far enough. Unless he's in exile on Pluto, he's not far enough in exile.
Yeah, but the thing is, folks, this is a horrible regime that Kofi Annan. By the way, Kofi Annan, the outgoing general secretary general of the UN. But anyway, the UN's a mess now, folks. We can go on and on about that. But I want to move over to Iraq quickly, Rich. The Iraqi study group, you haven't talked to us about that. Mixed reviews.
Mostly bad mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Jim Baker, who is a very skilled guy, did what he does all the time. He successfully maneuvered his way through this process by leaking just enough things to his friends in the press corps so that when the report was actually released, he hit the expectation bar exactly, because he said it. People didn't say, well, that's not enough or that's too much. And they said, the press corps said, it's wonderful. Now let's see what the president's going to do. And then after everybody actually got around to reading it, they realized that it was a collection of a jumbled collection of, you know, of things that other people had already suggested or that are never going to happen, like having the Iranians help stabilize Iraq. I mean, hello?
Right.
What it does serve one good purpose from a geopolitical standpoint, and it does give the president a little breathing room and gives him some political cover now to make changes, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he could have done 6 or 8 months ago, but he didn't.
Right.
So now he can do them now, and he doesn't have to backtrack. In fact, if he just kind of uses a semicolon or two from that report, he can say, you know, we're taking on some of the things that this report suggested. And even Nancy Pelosi yesterday, the day before, said, well, you can't do everything that's in that report. And by the way, neither can we do everything that's in the 9/11 report,
right?
Which the Democrats also have been demanding.
Well, you know, Rich,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The thing that bugs me about the Iraqi study group is this is just one more group, you know, committee report, so to speak, that we're all fussing about over here about what to do with Iraq. And we got men on the ground over there who were trying to make it happen. I mean, it really is annoying me, all of the talking that we're doing over here, and all the all the talking heads and everything else. When you know, I don't know. It just seems like we don't know what we're doing over here. It appears that we don't know which way to turn. And we got guys on the ground over there who are putting their life in harm's way. And I don't like it.
And I absolutely agree with you, and I don't like it either, and I'm sure the young men and women who are over there feel exactly the same way, but it is the truth. We don't know what to do next.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And by the way, Rich, June Reed was on our show. You are my friend, and who's over there while you were over there, but she's still there.
Oh,
and she says, you know what? There's a lot of good things going on in Iraq that nobody's reporting.
That was my job, and I did a bad job at it.
That's wrong, too, by the way. I think you did a good job when you were there, but you came back, Rich. Imagine that. Tintel, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Across the vein of night, there cuts a path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight. At the border,
we're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. Rich, give us your website again, please.
It's Mullings, M as in Mary, ullings.com.
I encourage you to go there and subscribe to his thrice weekly cyber column, folks. It's outstanding. If you're Republican, you will love it. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. So check it out. Speaking of Democrats, Rich, most new regimes, most new presidents, new congresses, when they change hands, you know, the big deal is, what are you going to accomplish in your first 100 days?
Right.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, the new incoming Speaker of the House, first woman ever, congratulations to her on that, wants to do a lot of stuff in the first 100 hours. Now, you know what? Never mind that I don't agree with most of the things she wants to do. Anytime the government does anything in 100 hours, even one thing, it frightens me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was, I was going to say Gabby Hayes, but I know that's wrong. Will Rogers, who said the nation never sleeps so soundly as when the Congress is in recess.
Exactly.
But the, The 100-hour thing is the kind of classic Washington eyewash. I mean, it's 100 hours of legislative time, not 100 hours of actual clock time.
Okay, so that's actually 6 months then, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at the calendar, and they made a big deal about the fact that they're going to work Monday through Friday, by God, just like, well, if you look at the calendar, the first full week of Monday through Fridays isn't until, like, April. So, you know, because it's just all the same old crap. But she wants to get off to a head start, and this is something interesting that I haven't written about, but I will. Is that the White House is one of the reasons, going back to what we were talking about Iraq, one of the reasons that the president is delaying a big Iraqi announcement is because there is a strategy in the White House that they are not going to wait for the State of the Union message in early February to announce new initiatives, because they don't want to give the whole first month of January to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. So they're going to be rolling out, the White House is going to fight back, you know, legislatively and in the news media by announcing, you know, major initiatives during this first 100 hours period, so that they don't get themselves into the position that Bill Clinton did after the 1994 election, mm-hmm. when in March of 1995, Clinton had to hold a press conference to remind everybody that he was still relevant to the
process. I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, when I remind my Democratic friends, they still cringe.
Well, one of the things she wants to do is raise minimum wage and, right. and a bunch of other stuff, which is criminal as far as I'm concerned. Folks, hold on to your pocketbooks, just batten down the hatches, buckle your seatbelts, gird your loins if you're a small business owner, and pay attention to what she wants to do. Most of what they want to do in the first 100 hours are not going to be good for your small business. Now, you heard
and
that from
I, And
me.
I'll tell you what your listeners need to do. They need to get the phone number and the mailing address of their member of Congress and their senator. And don't be afraid, not an email because they get lost, but don't be afraid to sit down and type out a letter and put it in the mail, because I'm telling you, everybody thinks that this is just nonsense, but it is true. It's not getting 500 postcards from the NFIB, although that's a good thing,
yeah.
but 500 different letters
yeah.
from NFIB members, that yeah. will get everybody to stand yeah. up and pay close attention. And,
or whatever membership you are, including
yeah,
a member
yeah.
of the Small Business Advocate Show. Let's move over quickly, Rich. The new chairman of the House Intelligence Committee is a representative, a Democrat from Texas, Reyes.
Reyes, yeah.
He doesn't know. He's right. He's the chairman of the Intelligence Agency, House Intelligence Committee. He doesn't know that Al-Qaeda is Sunni and not
right.
Shiite. He doesn't know who the Hezbollah is. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, and he didn't know the difference between Sunnis and Shiites either. But to be fair, that's a travesty. But it just tells you the basic problems of being a member of Congress. But
Jane Harman is a very able. I like her a lot.
Yeah,
able person.
That's the problem. I mean, the problem is if you like Jane Harman, it's impossible for Nancy Pelosi to like her too.
Good point. Good point.
That wasn't going to happen.
I lost my head.
I mean, to be fair about that quiz, the ranking Republican couldn't answer those questions either.
Well, see, this proves my point. Folks, remember a week ago when I kind of went off on politicians and talked about how little they actually know about what's going on in the world? This proves I was right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It demonstrates what happens when you get to be a member of Congress.
That's just preposterous to me,
yep.
Rich. Rich, we're running out of time. When we come back next time, I want you to talk about the Obama-Clinton thing. And by the way, I had in my notes Republicans instead of subcategories for them. All I could come up with was four question marks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easier to be in the minority. All you have to say is no.
Yeah, or I'm not them. That worked for the Democrats this time.
Hey, yeah, it worked for them. Great.
Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Happy Hanukkah. We'll see you next time.
Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, a great American.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.